Please turn with us to the book of Revelation, 12th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Start reading at verse number 5. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, and woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you tonight for the Word of God, for the Bible. Thank you for giving it to us, Father. Thank you for giving us the wonderful Word of God to strengthen us and help us and teach us and do that which is needful in each one of our lives. And Father, tonight this preacher needs your help, needs your power, needs your wisdom as we preach. And I ask, Lord, about all these prayer requests, Lord, that you would, Lord, undertake. And Father, the will of God be done in each one. And then, Lord, for our master's clubs, we pray tonight that you would help there and empower the teachers and give them safety as some of them's taking a bus trip tonight. You watch over them, take care of them. And Lord, we just ask the perfect will of God be done in this services. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember last week, we looked at the first part of chapter 12, in which we saw two different wonders. We found the one wonder there in heaven. And of course, it was the woman. The Bible says in verse number 1, the woman clothed with the sun and the moon, and under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And if you'll remember, we identified her by going back to Genesis, the 37th chapter of Genesis. We identified her there as Israel, the woman there, about ready to give birth, which we're going to talk about tonight. The other wonder, of course, in verse number 3, the Bible simply says there appeared another wonder in heaven. Of course, here identifying that wonder was the great red dragon. And talked about how his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which is ready to be delivered for to devour a child as soon as he was born. Remember, we talked about Satan and how he hates the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is his defeat. He is defeated foe already. Christ has won the victory. We know that. And so because he hates Christ, he hates you and I. He hates the church. As I remember, we had spent just a little bit of time at the end of the message last week on dealing with the fact that how Satan will do anything he can to disrupt the church and to destroy the church. He'll do anything he can because he hates the church. It's that which God has ordained to do his work here on this earth. So you always want to keep that in mind. When you're as a Christian, you need to keep that in mind and be sure that you love the church, because Satan hates it. And he despises it and will do anything he can to destroy it. We find then in verse number 5 that she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. I was thinking tonight a little bit about some of the things that's going on. I picked up the paper tonight, and just on one page there, it talked about earthquake hit India, 110 people killed, and they know that it's going to go a lot higher than that. On that same page, I read an article about over in Cambodia, there's 100 people per day being infected with HIV in Cambodia. 100 people a day. In that one country. I was thinking about the, you know, over in Kosovo, how the fighting's going on. More than likely tonight there's fighting going on, and our planes, our men, our women are in danger as they fight a battle over there. And everywhere you look, it seems like there's wars and threatenings of wars. And I was thinking about how bin Laden, the terrorist, has pledged He's made a pledge to do something terrible in America. Now, I don't know what he's going to do, nor whether God's going to let him do it. I'm just simply saying he has made a pledge to do that. And I was thinking about how the whole Islam world hates us and has also pledged in 1999, somewhere around the 2000 mark, that they're going to make their mark in America and do something in America. You know, we don't know whether they're going to be allowed to do this or not, because God will decide those things. And I understand that, and I believe that. But we have the Y2K coming up, and whether that develops into anything or not, we don't know what's going to happen. You hear anything from nothing to a lot. We just really do not know what's going to happen. But let's face it, there's a lot of things to look at. There's a lot of things coming here to America. Terrorism and extremists are not only looking into bombs to go off in America, but they've got terrorism now refined down to the computer age, and they can destroy, they can disrupt power in power plants. They can disrupt water sources through computer terrorism, is what I'm reading. Again, I'm no expert on that, don't know those things. I believe these are reputable people who are saying this, and that's why I'm even repeating it. You look at the weather. We preached a message here a while back, is God speaking through the weather? And we preached that message, and certainly there's tremendous things happening in America and across the world. And then you look at it and you say, and along also with the fact that there's the submarine sandwiches that are destroying song leaders. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't realize it was this serious. If you didn't get that tonight, Tommy was up here and he said he'd just eat a big submarine sandwich and he shouldn't have ever eat that last half. And he got up and had a little trouble there, you know, and he blamed it on the submarine sandwich. So what I'm saying is, I mean, it's getting bad, folks. And but I do know this, and I've stressed this, and we'll continue to stress it, whether, you know, people enjoy hearing it or not. Because of the spiritual condition of America, we've got a lot to be concerned about. We are in terrific danger in America because of the spiritual condition of America. Now, I'm wise enough to understand there's a whole lot of Christians out there that has not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, I know that. There's a whole lot of churches out there that has not bowed their knee to Baal. I understand that. Thankful for it and grateful for that fact. But at the same time, I do believe our Christianity in America today is pretty anemic. And I'm talking about all of us. You get down to biblical Christianity, Book of Acts Christianity, we have very little understanding in America what that is. And so because of that, I'm real concerned. I'm concerned about America, but I'm concerned about even Blessed Hope Baptist Church here, us as a people. And I think we just need real revival. I'm talking about real revival. I'm not talking about just being stirred a little bit that doesn't last. I'm talking about real revival. I believe we need it, and I believe churches all over America need it. Even the good churches of America need real revival. Amen. So I'm convinced of those things, and so I'm hoping that by me speaking about those things, you'll be convinced about them too. You won't just let it go over your head and be unconcerned about it, because it's a real thing that we need to really pray about here in America. We are in danger, especially spiritual danger in America. And this is the land where most of the gospel goes out from. This is the land where the missionaries are being sent out from. And thank God for that. But let me say to you, it's not sending out and not doing in comparison what it used to. And we're slipping. And where churches are not being strengthened and standing strong. And there's too much entertainment in our churches. Entertainment becomes more important than getting the gospel out. And so does that concern me? Yes, it concerns me. Certainly does. And I think it's one of the reasons why God is encouraging a lot of his people, commanding a lot of his preachers to preach on the end times. And here, as we are preaching in the book of Revelation, I just believe it's a time that we need to listen. We need to be stirred. We need to say, you know, God is doing something, and this is dangerous times we live in. And, oh, let's get right with God, and let's see people saved. It's my desire, and whenever we plan things and when we have ministries here, the whole purpose behind the ministry from this preacher's standpoint is, will it bring people to Christ? If it will not bring people to Christ and will not teach people then how to bring other people to Christ and help them grow in the Lord, then it's worthless. A social ministry just for the sake of having a social ministry is worthless. A church needs to be spiritual and get people saved. And so the preacher preaches, and he talks about it all the time, but he can't make out and twist. He can't come out into the congregation and twist people's arm and make them go soul winning. All I can do is preach and trust that each one of us will be stirred by the Word of God to do more than set and take it in, but use it. Amen. So tonight, we just talked about last week about Satan, the great red dragon. If you'll notice there in verse number 5, he says, she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. This woman, she brought forth a man child. And of course, we know that this is Jesus. Now, the reason I can identify him, and we'll take you to the scriptures and show you, but I can identify him, and we're going to do basically a Bible study tonight that will help you, I believe. We know we can identify him because he says in verse 5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, if you'll go back to the book of Psalms, please, second Psalm, I want you to listen because he here is identified. He says in the book of Psalms, the second chapter, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? We have here, and of course this is a psalm that is a really blessed psalm. It tells us so much about the world in general and how it stands up against God, stands up against Christ. And he says, they rage and the people imagine a vain thing. This is the revolt of nations and people and kings and rulers that stand up against God Almighty. And he says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, who is his anointed? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, we won't do want them controlling us whatsoever. We don't want God to have any control over us. He don't want him leading us and guiding us. We want to cast off his cords that would bind us. We want nothing to do with God whatsoever, and that's what's happening in the world today. That's what's happening in America today. We find that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And I believe he's talking about what we're preaching back in the book of Revelation right now. He's talking about the tribulation period. He said he's going to vex them in sore displeasure. And he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I would declare the decree, and the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Then he says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In other words, here he's talking about the very same thing that was talked about in the scripture that I just read unto you in verse number 5 about he's going to rule with a rod of iron. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to do this. Turn over to the book of Acts just real quickly, chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Chapter 4, book of Acts, verse 23. Right before that, and I'm not going to read all the chapter, but it's a marvelous, wonderful chapter. What it does in this chapter, it talks about the persecution that comes upon God's people And that's one of the reasons I said earlier, the Christianity of the book of Acts, we know nothing about. I mean, we read about it, but we are not experiencing it. We first of all do not see the persecution that they saw back then and how they had to stand for God. But if you'll notice, this chapter, chapter 4, talks about the persecution. And the basic problem was, if you'll go through it, I'm not going to take time to do that, but you'll find over and over again in this chapter mentioned that they preached in the name of Jesus. And this became the problem. In fact, the rulers did not want them to preach in his name. In verse number 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. You see, that was the thing that they did not want. They did not want his name mentioned. They didn't want him to teach in his name. And so we get down then. They called them together. They turned them loose because they didn't have any way to punish him because of the people. The people was seeing a great miracle, and they were standing for these men of God. And so they didn't punish him, but they told him, don't you preach in Jesus' name anymore. Well, that's the only name you can preach in. And then in verse number 23, he says, and being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David, now here it is, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but what he's saying is he goes back to Psalm number 2 and pulls that out and uses that here in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. This is the one who's going to come and going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to do that during the millennial reign. If you're going to turn with me also then real quickly over to Revelation, the 19th chapter, we'll read one verse. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 15, 19th chapter, Revelation says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now there's no doubt about who this is. When he talks about in verse number 5, who it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I might say something to you. He talks about here he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Listen to me, folks. That's the only way you put down rebellion. Now, we've got the peace crowd out there. That they want everything peace, everything peace. There is no peace in rebellion. Rebellion will not be stopped with anything but a hard rule. That's why in the Old Testament, when a child rebelled against his parents, they took him out and stoned him to death. Now, it doesn't tell us to stone him to death, but it does tell us to deal with rebellion. Rebellion must be dealt with, or they will only increase in their rebellion. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with it rightly, but you have to deal with rebellion. And Christ, when he comes, will deal with it with a rod of iron. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think if Jesus Christ came to any nation right now, he could get them to say, oh, sure, we'll fall down and worship you? Oh, we was mistaken. We just didn't realize. You wouldn't find a nation on the face of this earth that would fall down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, he'll have to come with a rod of iron. And he'll rule with a rod of iron. The United States of America would not fall down before Jesus Christ right now. Not as a nation. There would be people within that nation that would. But not the nation as a whole would not do so. So he's going to come and he's going to rule. And then it says there also, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now you understand that that was at the time, if you go back to the book of Acts, the first chapter, verse 9 through 11, and they stood there amazed, the disciples stood there amazed as the Lord Jesus was caught up in a cloud. Here we find, and if you'll notice here, he's dealing, you've got to understand in this, he is dealing with the Jewish nation. He's dealing with Israel. He's not looking at the church age at this time. The church has already been raptured. So he's not dealing with it. If you notice, it talks about his birth, and immediately the next thing it says about him is he's caught up. He's caught up into the heavens. And he says then, and to his throne. And the woman fled in the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, if you will notice, from the time it says he was caught up to heaven in verse number 6, there's at least 2,000 years between those two verses. Because it's in the tribulation period is when they flee into the wilderness, as we will see in just a few moments. So there's 2,000 years. Why? Because he's not dealing with the church age. He's dealing with Israel. And he's back here at the church, has already been raptured. He's dealing with Israel. So from the time he got caught up, already there's been 2,000 years has passed until they will flee. And we don't know for sure when they're going to flee, but at least 2,000 years has already passed, or close to it, somewhere close to it. And so in other words, we're simply saying to you that the woman fled in the wilderness. Now in verse number 14, it says something else about that, them fleeing. In verse number 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly unto the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a times from the face of the serpent. Now, once again, here you notice it talks about it in verse 14, talks about it in verse number 6, that the woman fled into the wilderness. And he says, where she had a place prepared of God. God already has a place prepared for this woman, Israel, during the last half of the tribulation period. The reason we know it's the last half of the tribulation period, because it gives us 3.5 years. She'll be fed there for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Now, if you'll notice, up in the book of Daniel, if you'll turn with me there, I want to share with you what I believe. I'm just telling you what I believe. I know she's going to a wilderness. God said she's going to flee to the wilderness. If we'll go back with me to the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, 36th verse, we're talking about the Antichrist in this here verse of Scripture, and it's talking about the Antichrist and how he will rule during this time, and he will come down against Israel. I mean, he will stand against Israel and, in fact, cause them to flee. But look at verse number 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. For he shall magnify himself above all. Now this is what we refer to as the Antichrist or the beast. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him with a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now he shall enter also into the glorious land, that's Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. But listen, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of the gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his step. In other words, he's going to take much of that country over in that area there. He's going to just take it over and rule it. But it's an interesting thing. There is three countries mentioned there that he does not take. And if you'll notice there, he says Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now, I personally believe that's where Israel is going to flee to. The reason is because God spares those countries. That's where his people is going to hide. They're going to be fed there. The Bible says they shall feed them there. Who's going to feed them there? Somebody is going to feed God's people there. If you look at Israel on a map, if you're looking like this, here's the Dead Sea right here. And in below the Dead Sea is what we call Edom. It used to be Edom. Up this side of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River is what is called Moab. And on up beside it, then off then to the right a little bit, is Ammon. And if you look on your map, you'll find that most of that territory is Jordan today. Most of it. I didn't say all of it, but most of it is Jordan. You've heard of the place called Petra. Petra is a city that is that the only way you can get into it is by a narrow passageway down through rocks, and there's a whole city carved out in that, and it's just kind of level, but in there is just rocks. Now, some people think that when I say rocks, there's a city carved out in there. Tourists go there all the time. Some people think that Petra is where it's going to go. I don't know if it's exactly Petra. I'm not going to say. But Petra is included in Edom. So what I'm simply saying is, I believe it's those three countries. Somewhere in that area is where God's going to send these people, because them are the countries the Antichrist is not going to take over. And so God has prepared a place for his people. Isn't that marvelous how God does that? And he's already got that place prepared, ready. And they're going to flee there. Now, if you'll notice also, and I want to go ahead over to the book of Isaiah just a few moments. Isaiah, the 26th chapter. And let's look at the last two verses. Again, speaking of this place where God's going to hide his people. He says, "Come, my people," 26th chapter of Isaiah, verse 20, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Here, clear back here, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the time when God would bring his people, as he said, "Come on into your chambers and close the door. I'm going to keep you there. Now I'm going to take care of you there until the indignation is past, till I'm done punishing the earth." And of course, we know that's during the tribulation period. So he's going to take his people, Israel, those that are left, those that are left to flee. There's also indications, and maybe we'll get that, but during the great battle during that time, there's only going to be one-third of Israel left. Two-thirds of Israel is going to be destroyed. You see, that's why I've said over and over and over, we need to pray for Israel. They are facing some of their greatest times of tragedy is ahead of them in the tribulation period. So we need to pray. And I hope many of them will get saved. But if you notice there, he says that they should feed her there 1,260 days. God's got some way prepared already to feed Israel for 3.5 years. And he talks in verse 14 also, she'll be nourished there. If you'll read that again sometime. And then in verse number 7, he says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, what I want to do is, I think you're familiar with the fact that Satan has access to the heavens. We know that in the book of Job, the first chapter, second chapter of the book of Job, Satan has access to the heavens. He also is called the prince and power of the air. He's the god of this world. He has access to the heavens, and he has access also to the world's kingdoms. Now, in a moment, we'll look at that, but let me say to you, oh, Satan, again, remember this is his kingdom. Now, I know God is in control of things, but folks, he's the god of this world structure. Now, you've got to understand it. You've got to get a hold of that, or you just give your time and your life to this world's kingdom and not to God's kingdom. You've got to get a hold of that. Amen? So let's look again. He says, talks about there was a war in heaven. A horrible war is going to take place in heaven. You say, you mean there's fighting up in there? Yes, I'll show you. In the scripture, the Bible teaches us about that over in the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. verse number 10 of the 10th chapter. This is Daniel, and here's what he says in verse number 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In other words, I've come to answer your prayer. Listen to what he says. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. I was hindered for coming for 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now keep your place there, but you remember back over here, he says there was a war in heaven, and Michael, this is a very special angel that takes care of Israel. You say, Brother Ross, can you prove that spiritually? Oh, yeah. I mean, scripturally? Oh, yes. Now look with me again over to verse 19 of chapter 10. And he said, A man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. And he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou whether I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, Michael, your prince? He's talking about Daniel's prince, or the people of Israel's prince. To give you one more verse of scripture to show that, in chapter 12, listen to what he says. In verse 1, And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Talking about the great tribulation period. And again, he says, he's talking about Michael, the one that stands for the children of Israel. So he's a special archangel that God has over the children of Israel. And he come to help this messenger that had come to Daniel. Now, the reason we're mentioning this is you notice it talks about the prince over in verse 13 of chapter 10, the prince of Persia, the kingdom of Persia. Folks, that's not talking about a human being. That's talking about a fallen angel. And it's a battle going on in the heavens. You remember, they stopped this messenger for 21 days from coming and answering the prayer. Now, let me tell you, he talked also about over in verse number 20 about the prince of Grecia. Now, we're talking about the influence, wicked influences upon the kingdoms of this world. I believe there's princes for Russia. I'm talking about wicked princes. I'm talking about Satan's men, angels. I believe there's a prince not only for Russia, I believe there's a prince for China. I believe there's a prince for France. I believe there's a prince that is to influence what's going on in Kosovo. I believe also, let me say to you, there's a prince influencing the United States of America. And I believe also there's a prince over Iraq. There's a prince over Iran. There's a prince over these nations because they're not walking with God, and Satan is influencing them just like he did Grecia, just like he did Persia. There's a special angel, a special prince over them, influencing them for bad. So I'm saying to you, folks, why is things like this going on in America? Well, it's going on in America because Satan's influence is everywhere. You don't see nations turning to God. You don't see America turning to God government-wise. You know how you get people saved? You don't get them saved as a nation. You get them saved one by one. You get them born into the family of God one by one. That's what I keep talking to you about, soul winning. The way you get people saved is one by one getting them saved. Borning them into the family of God. You don't, as a nation, get people saved. They're not going to turn like they did in Nineveh as a nation, but even if they did, they'd have to do it one by one. That's the way you get folks saved. That's what we've got to understand and get our mind on. More than likely, we're not going to save all of Jasonville and Linton and Clay City and Hymera and Shelburne and all these other little towns. We're not going to save them all as a whole, but we can get folks saved one by one out of them. And that's what it's all about. And we need to do that because there's a great influence today from Satan over these nations, over these towns, influencing them away from God. So if you go back then, he says there's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And we know who the dragon is. The dragon is, of course, Satan, and fought and his angels. If you notice here, they did not prevail. Michael and his angels prevail and kicked him out of heaven. If you notice there, he says in verse number 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. In other words, where he used to have access, now understand this, he used to have access to the heavens. He could even himself come before God. We find the Bible right down in verse number 10 talks about he who accused the brethren, accused the children of God regularly, daily, before God, bringing accusations against them before God. So I'm saying he used to have access where he could come, as he did in the book of Job, to God. But after this, he no longer has access. And he is kicked out, and he's kicked off onto the earth, plus not only him, all of his angels with him. Now, do you think that's not going to cause turmoil on this earth? In fact, the Bible says, if you read verse number 12, listen to what he says. Oh, rejoice, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. You won't have to put up Satan anymore up here. It's over. But listen to what he says. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, what you've got to get a hold of, folks, when this time comes, Satan is going to have tremendous power and wrath turned loose on this earth. Him and his angels are just going to be on the earth then to cause all kinds of havoc. And God says, oh, woe to this earth. That's another reason I say, you don't want to be here. You want to know Christ. You want to be saved. You want to be born again. You don't want your loved ones here. You understand? You don't want your loved ones here. You don't want your friends here. You don't want your relatives here. You don't want those people. You don't want your neighbors here. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. And then he says in verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And if you'll notice there, dragon, we talked about last week, speaks of the viciousness of Satan, how vicious he is. The old serpent speaks of a hissing snake. I don't know about you, but I don't like snakes. I just don't like a snake. Just something about it. I just don't like a snake. Amen? They're sneaky. Slip up on you. Amen. And they're always saying, and you know what he called him? He called him an old serpent. Did you notice he called him old? You know why? He's from the time of a garden. He's the same one that was in the Garden of Eden that slipped up on Eve and Adam. Same one. Now, if you notice, he called him the serpent, and then he called him the devil. He made sure who he was. Devil speaks of one who slanders, accuses. You notice in verse number 10, we're not going to study that verse, but he says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. The devil speaks of one who accuses and slanders. Folks, listen to me. Listen good. That's why gossip is a hateful thing to God. That's what Satan does, is slanders and accuses and spreads gossip. You hear your preacher talk about it all the time, but you better understand the horribleness of gossip. You know where it was born at? In the pit of hell. And the churches nowadays are taking delivery from packages from hell in the form of gossip. Now, you better get a hold of it. That's Satan's work. accusations and slander and gossip is Satan's work. It isn't God's work. Be assured of that. And when you listen to that gossip, know you're listening from a message from Satan, not God. Amen? See, slander and accusations and accuser. And so he was cast out of the earth. And notice also one more thing it says about him, which deceiveth the whole world. Thank God, and I was thinking about that when I was talking about slander and accuser. Thank God we have, as he stood before daily, before God and accused us and slandered us daily, day and night, thank God we have an advocate. Aren't you glad you got an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ our Lord? He's our advocate. Yes, old Satan's a slander and accuser, but Jesus is our advocate. Amen. And then he says, he was cast out, who deceiveth the whole world. Folks, you've got to understand, Satan is a deceiver. He doesn't care how he does it. He deceiveth the whole world. Over in 1 Corinthians, he says, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's deceived them. You know how he uses deceit? There's three enemies that we have: the flesh, the world, and the devil. And he uses all of those to deceive. Oh, the flesh is not too bad. I'm not such a bad person. I'm all right. Sure, I don't do things just too bad. Let me tell you, you're on a dangerous trail when you believe that stuff. Because the ability for the flesh, the only thing the ability has to do, this flesh has to do, is to sin. Without God help, we'll just be sinning. Oh, the world, you know, I give a lot of time to the world, but you know, that's necessary. You know, you're just deceived. What are we going to tell God when we tell him we've spent most of our life dedicating our life to the work of the world instead of the work of God? That becomes the whole principle. That's why we live. Most people live, most Americans live for the world. Amen? And then, of course, the devil is a deceiver. And he deceives people about the gospel. Oh, yeah, just do the best you can. Don't worry about it. You're all right just as long as you just live the best you can. You'll make it to heaven. That's a lie. It's a devil's lie. You must be born again. Amen. I'm just saying, he's a deceiver, folks. And Satan, let me say to you this in closing. Satan is to be feared as a lion. He's called a lion. Wants to devour you. He's to be feared as a serpent. The old hissing snake, slippery and deceiving. But let me tell you how he should most be feared. As an angel of light. That's who you better fear the most. You can spot a serpent, and you can spot a lion. But boy, it's hard to spot an angel of light. And you better fear him as an angel of light more than you fear him any other way. Amen. So I say to you, he's going to be kicked out of heaven. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you tonight for the wonderful grace of God and your goodness. And thank you for who you are, and thank you for your power. I don't in any way, Lord, want to uplift Satan's power over yours. I realize and understand that there's no comparison to him and our great and wonderful God. But I know that his power is so much greater than us, Lord, that I feel a necessity to warn us that we must trust in the power of God, always trusting in you, Lord, that we might cause Satan to flee. Now, thank you for what you've done. Use it to thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.